Byrjaðu að dæla með appinu og prísaði þig sæla hvað þú ert klár. Atlantsolía. App lykillinn að lægra verði.
Fyrir framtíðina. Vinnupallar. Öruggar lausnir. Vaffpallar.is
Já, við erum velkomnir kæru áhorfendur og hlustendur eða verið að hlusta á þetta í hlaðvarpi erum hérna í uppátímanum og ætlum að bara svona ræða ýmislegt að fara í svona tölfræðilegina, fara kannski eitthvað í svona taktisku legina hjá leganum í bestelinni við erum líka með sérstakan gest hérna í heimsókn, Nick Chamberlain, velkom
Thank you very much
The coach, head coach of Kristianstad in Sweden Við ætlum hérna að vera á ensku svolítið mikið þannig að þið verður bara að lifa með því Arnar Páll Garðarsson líka með okkur hérna í kvöld, blessaður Arnar
Það, blessaður
So just, Nick, welcome back to Iceland How's it to be back here?
Yeah, it's been nice It's nice cooler weather compared to what I've had the last few weeks But yeah, it's just been good to be back It's only been back a couple of days Just getting around, seeing everybody, just popping into clubs and just keeping busy, really.
Mm-hmm. You've been the coach at Kristianstad for a few months now. How has it been? Just to sum it up.
Yeah, you know, on the grade average, I'd probably just give it a C. It's been a good experience. It's definitely new challenges with the league and new players and just everything about it. I've kind of used it a bit of experimenting as well myself in terms of formations and What asking for players to do, just to kind of just test in the waters a little bit, because I never really had the opportunity to do so much here. It's always just, you know, here it's just kind of just in the set routine. Mm-hmm. So they've been, yeah, just trying things out a little bit. And it's been fine. Not so much good the result of the last game, losing 6-0 against Malmö. But it is what it is. And then when we get back after the summer break, it will be certainly get into more of a routine and just kind of hopefully then kick on and finish the season as best as we can.
Mm-hmm. Came here after a 6-0 loss against Malmö, as you said, but like a fun experience though to play in that big stadium and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly nothing you're going to get unless you manage to hit the European knockout stages, like the Europa Cup or Champions League, but it was a really good experience, you know, to just be in a stadium that big. And even though it was only maybe, 600-700 people, it was everything echoes in there. The acoustic is really nice, so it kind of sounded a lot bigger than what it was, but the grass and the stadium and everything like that was just, yeah, it was just a nice experience.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get, like, rid of Iceland, though. A lot of Icelandic people around the club, Icelandic players. I think you've got, four Icelandic players? Three
and Gunni's coming back. Gunni's
she's coming back and like there's Icelandic people living in the town as well, you know, Tinna and Oli and everything and just how is it to just be in Sweden and have all those Icelandic people around?
I mean, it's not so we kind of hang out a lot social-wise. That's probably the only thing that's biggest missing from myself personally is the social side of things where whereas again, a little bit here where you can just go out and have coffee just because you built the network. It's just going to take a little bit of time for that. But it's always handy to, you know, to have some familiarity around to the opportunity for the odd coffee or the odd thing here and there. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have at least, yes, yeah, some familiarity of Icelandics.
Mm-hmm. Linda Leif, you brought her with you to Sweden. She hit the ground running, scored 5 goals very early on. It seemed like she adjusted to the pace of the league and everything really quickly.
Yeah, she did. Probably a lot quicker than we expected. Like I expected, maybe, because sometimes it can take some time to adapt and everything. But she did. And she's just having a little bit of a funk now, but that's always going to happen. And I think the breaks come at a good time, so then afterwards you can reset and then they can start building up again. But she started really, really well, getting into good positions, goal-scoring positions, and also putting herself in a position to help the team as well. And yeah, and just a little bit of funk, you know, at the moment, but that's the case of just working through and just part of, again, of just taking the next step. Mm-hmm. Nothing's always going to go your way. As it sometimes can maybe in Iceland, if you hit a good bit of form, you can just keep going the whole way through. There, it's just going to be a little bit more stop-start just because of the level of defenders you're up against.
Mm-hmm. Did it, like, surprise you how quickly she started scoring goals and now she's playing with the national team as well?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, if you get yourself in positions, then it's just taking them. And that's what she did so well to begin with. And, you know, even in the pre-season, she was getting into positions. It's a case of just making sure the finishers' touches were there. So I'm not overly surprised. You know, her one of the biggest attributes is the physical prowess with the strength and the pace. And then it's a case of adapting once teams started to deal with that, to adapt that side to things are there. But, you know, she's shown what she can do. And obviously with the national team, it's been a good start for her.
Mm-hmm. Scoring against Spain.
Scoring against Spain, you know, can't ask for a better debut goal to score against than the reigning world champions. But I think eventually once she kind of just starts adding more to the game, and she'll be a good attribute for Iceland, because we do miss like a target nine, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Bara minna að vera með vinnuböllum eins og við sáum og kók og allt hans og lífi, besti drikkurinn og besta bensinni. Arnar, ert þú með eitthvað svona pælingar um Kristallstad og lífið í Svíðu?
Like, my first question is just like the difference between the league mainly. What's it like?
It's a lot more tactical. As I say, I mean, obviously, play. You know, teams have their way here, but it's just like all the details are down. You know, down to a T. Basically, you've got to have kind of a plan for everything. And like for myself, it's been good. Every game is. It's like you've got to be on it 90. You know, the whole 90 minutes, and you've got to be game management. How you've got to change in the odd thing here and there, depending on the opposition and who's coming on. So it's a lot more tactical. It's not as much free flowing as you find it here. And that side of things, and then just the physical side of things in general. It's a lot more of a physical league. So you don't get, you know, as many soft free kicks as you do in Iceland that can break up the play. And then just, you know, the level of quality that you're coming up against in terms of players and staff. You know, Malmo had 6-7 staff members, yeah. Whereas in Iceland you're dealing with just one or two, yeah. Really. And that second one usually part-time.
Yeah. Have you been more exposed as a coach?
Yeah,
it's less 6 months than in Iceland.
Yep, I think so. I think it's been good learning curve for me, and it's also tested me. Like, you know, going to a back five for the first time, because maybe I've been a little bit worried about the opposition instead of kind of maybe sticking to my guns a little bit, because it's a new area and a new experience. So you kind of can second guess yourself a little bit, and I think I've done that, and the results have kind of shown that a little bit, but it's a good learning curve. And I think the break, as much as it gets good for Linda, it's been good for me to kind of just have a couple of weeks of just kind of, or as it is, a couple of days without having to think about the next game and just reflect on everything up to this point.
Mm-hmm. But I mean mainly, like, for you, last two seasons with Breiðablik, like, I think what you lost, maybe if you look at the league and the cup, four games, maybe three games, something like that.
Yeah, 24 Valur twice and Víkingur. Then last year, FR away, Stjarnan at home, Þróttur away. So was that six?
Six games,
yeah.
Is it difficult to deal with maybe getting tougher results?
I knew going in, obviously, it was going to be that case. But again, going back to the second guessing self, it's been such a while that, you know, I've lost or gone on a run of games without winning. Mm-hmm. You just got to realise and just trust what you've been doing before. And I think, you know, the first part of the season, I think, especially towards the end, I was maybe second-guessing myself a little bit and overthinking what we need to do about the opposition instead of just focusing on myself a little bit. So it can easily get sucked into that in a new environment where, even though there's not necessarily pressure on to win something, as there was at Breiðablik. Mm-hmm. But I think going into Breiðablik, I had a little bit more of... reputation. Mm-hmm. Whereas now in Sweden, I don't have a reputation, really, just someone that's coming from Iceland. So
do you feel like you have to prove yourself to the people over there?
I think so a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think so as well, especially on you know, to other coaches as well, to, you know, to maybe be, is it like towards the end here, I'll probably say not feared, but, you know, mm-hmm. people didn't want to face both because of how efficient and good we were. Mm-hmm. And in Sweden, it's... Yeah, similar to when I was maybe first with Throttle getting promoted to the Pepsi, as it was then. when it was probably the same sort of thing, second-guessing myself a little bit and overcomplicating. And sooner, I think I recognise to just go with what is best and I know is best. I think it's better. And that's why I think the the breaks come at a good time for a little bit of a reset, and then going back is like just doing what I know best.
Yeah, you mentioned that you had to maybe adjust to the other teams more than you did in Iceland, especially with Breiðablik. Have you had to like change your tactical plans otherwise?
A little bit, as I say, I've gone to back five for a few times, maybe five times, six times in the games, which I only did once, mm-hmm. pretty much in my whole time here in Iceland.
Yeah.
So that's been something new. Again, because this club had been used to being as a five, so I thought sometimes it might be a little bit easier, especially when we're playing the Hammarby or a Häcken or Malmö as it was away. And I wanted to just kind of see a comparison as a four, as a five as well. Because then going forward to the second part of the season, I need to kind of, let's say, be a little bit more of a routine. And so I've adapted. And it's tested me because, you know, it's not maybe the best time to try something new in a new league and in a new team. But giving myself a bit of a challenge and kind of listening to voices around this as well, which can be good and bad. It's a case of just picking the messages that is best suited. Mm-hmm. And going forward, but yeah, I've had to change a little bit, at times.
Mm-hmm. What are like the expectations from the club? Is there a lot of pressure to get results?
Not at the moment. Mm-hmm. We'll see if I have any more 6-0 losses, then we might change a little bit. But no, because the club's gone through a major change as well. Like compared to the final game of last season, I think we've only got, you know, 5-6 of the players of the squad. You know, it's been a big, big, big change that we've had as well. So it's a case of this year to kind of just get into a rhythm, kind of get a stable base with a good core group of players, and then we'll probably have a bit of a change in the winter. But it's important to have a core that knows what's going to happen going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a bit of a change from a tactical point of view, from a cultural point of view, because it's not as I have a previous coach there that was there before and could kind of offer their advice a little bit. It's kind of like we've got a brand new coaching staff, so that everything's kind of brand new.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just maybe like finally on Kristjánsdóttir, Elísabet Gunnarsdóttir, like her legacy at the club. Mm-hmm. Do you feel it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, like they're
I mean, it's not common that nowadays that a coach stays at the club for, like, what, 13, 14 years, something like that?
Yeah, longer than that, 17 maybe. Yeah. And still lives in the town as well.
Yeah.
But I don't feel that as any sort of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, you know, she's been a big part of, you know, when I've needed advice, mm-hmm. she's been the best person to spoke to before going to Breiðablik and also then making the move across. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel the pressure that, she, you know, she's overwatching, seeing everything. Mm-hmm. She's just there as a good tool and to basically help me through, especially these sort of moments going forward. But the club is still, yeah, you know, they're, what's the, you know, they're not mantra, or well, it is, you know, they're each anagram, like when clubs have like letters and or phrases, like
values,
like better is what is what it's based on.
Yeah, does he call you a lot?
No, because obviously she's got her own job and she's going for her own thing with Belgium at the moment. But we spoke a little bit and I think we'll sit down once I get back after the summer break.
Mm-hmm.
And then have a bit of a chat.
Mm-hmm. Häcken, top of the league. They've got two Icelandic players, you know, Fanny and Thelma. Like, how has it been to just see them taking that step up to the best team in Sweden, maybe especially Thelma, who's, what, 17 years old?
Yeah, yeah. Now, Thelma's come on so much since she's been out there, even from, you know, when she left here towards the end of the season there to now. It's really adding to a game, and she's adding some things as well, like, you know, she's learning, you know, in some clips she's learning to do a step over and just adding more. But you can see her, you know, see the quality and maturity that she's growing into. And she's, you know, especially with Felicia Schroeder now leaving to Real Madrid, there's a big gap that needs to fill in for their attack. I'm not saying it all falls on her, but I think there'll be a lot more responsibility on her shoulders going forward. But she's shown that she can take it, and she's going to be a fantastic player.
Mm-hmm. Did you try to sign her from EFL?
To Kristjánsdóttir? No, she was already gone.
She was already gone.
She was in the cup final. Was gone at that point. Leaving Breiðablik.
But I guess you would have tried to sign her if you got
a
chance.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Just we could come back to Iceland now. Do you miss Iceland when you're living in Sweden?
I think being back here for the last couple of days, it's, yeah, there's a little bit of homesickness, I think, you know, being there, obviously being with you know, visiting, seeing my girlfriend as well. There was a little bit, that is going to be there, because it was a big part of my life, and still is. And at some point, you know, I think I will come back.
You're an Icelandic, maybe.
I'll try.
But it's like a second home.
Yeah, this is definitely more of a second home than England, definitely.
Við ætlum fara núna að fara aðeins í bestu deildina, svona það náttúrulega hlýja á deildinu núna U19 landslið að keppa í Bosníu og Evrópumótinu, búin að klára fyrsta leikinn sem þar fór ekki alveg nægilega vel. Við ætlum svona, bara svona aðeins að fara yfir stöðuna og skoða kannski deildina út frá tölfræðilegu sjónarhorni og taktisku sjónarhorni. Nick, do you still follow the league while you're out in Sweden?
Yeah.
Do you like try to watch most of the games?
Yeah, things like that? The time suits me, you know, 9 o'clock in the evenings or because it's a 2 hours ahead. So, I mean, I do watch most of the games usually when it's on, me and Addy were speaking, commentating, are you watching this in this game or this and that game? So I've probably seen most rounds following Breiðablik and Þróttur only at the games that I'm watching.
Just fascinated, Breiðablik, big changes since last season, both player-wise and you know, coaching-wise and tactic-wise. Just how do you see the team still at the top of the table?
Yeah, I think they've got players there that, you know, the quality is, the 11, I think, is still the best in the country. You know, the only thing that they're not lacking, but the only difference between the last couple of years or the few years is a little bit of the depth. Like last year, if we had a player, you know, that was maybe only performing at a 6 sort of level, we could swap him in and swap him out. Whereas now, like, especially with the youngsters, they're going to be a little bit more of a wave rather than the consistency of, you know, Birta, Berglind, Dreyer, Sammy, you know, where their performances week in, week out would be there. But with youngsters, you're going to have a bit more of a drop and then come up again. So that's, I think, the difference between last year and this year. But I would still expect them to be on top at the end of the season.
Just, you know, these players like Leif and Edith and Ása, just they're taking a bigger role and they've taken it with both hands and just played really well.
No, exactly. I mean, they were itching at the bit last year, you know, wanted more minutes. But, you know, with the players ahead of them and what we were going for, it was difficult at the time. But I think the minutes that they got last year were all very beneficial and they performed pretty much, you know, majority of the time. So it's, you know, it's like a, yeah, you're just waiting for the explosion for them to come out, and they've done that all winter and really taken it into the season. And yeah, it's been enjoyable to watch them take the big steps and maturity and quality.
Did you expect them to take this such a big step so early on?
I would expect, you know, Elsa I was expecting, definitely. But then it just depends on how the formation of what they were going to do. Because obviously I had Edith as a striker. Yeah. Now she's playing as more of a wing-back sort of role, maybe a winger, depending on the type of opposition they're up. And Leif was growing into an attacking player that I wanted. Why she plays full-back for the national team is beyond me. But I've always seen her as more of an attacking player, as a winger, a striker, and she's, you know, getting into positions a lot more now and again, proving her quality of being further advanced forward.
Just tactic-wise, they've played three at the back a lot. Do you like that style of play for them?
I think it suits the personnel that they have, basically, for what they lost and what they were needing and what they brought in. I think it just suits what they have, and they're doing well. Obviously, the style and what, you know, what they do is different to what I did, but it's just as effective. You know, they're just a little bit more getting the ball going to goal and just driving the teams being that way, and just a little bit more overwhelming in the numbers going forward. Because then they've got Elisa, Elin, and Kristin Dees to sweep up everything. And this year, in terms of the quality of opposition, in terms of the transitional side, there's not many teams that can harm them throughout the course of a 90 minutes. Might get the odd one here and there, but it's not as though you could just be dealing with wave after wave.
Maybe the biggest change, the directness of play.
Yeah. I think it's fine, but as I say, it's suiting them. They're getting forward and just overwhelming them, getting into positions a lot more. But yeah, I think there's just a little bit more direct than what we were.
How would you describe Breiðablik now?
In terms of just what?
Just playing style. Like
playing style.
Just playing style and how they defend, the mentality. Just like, how would you describe this Breivik team?
It's overpowering, I guess, is a way compared to what they're doing. They're just trying to, say, when they're looking to press going forward, it's a case of just having more numbers there. Mm-hmm. And both the attacking side of things as well, it's just a case of having more numbers to just overwhelm the opposition, either by forcing an error and getting a turnover or forcing a long ball to pick it up. And then going forward, it's just, as it's seen with a couple of, you know, goals, especially where Ibivov, just the overwhelming couple of movements and they're in behind, and then they've got acres of space to go into and plenty of numbers to get into attack.
Do you stay in contact with Jeffsy? Does he try to get advice from you?
No. We, as I say, we spoke a little bit in the winter in terms of, you know, just kind of get settling in and whatnot, but once the, you know, season started, that's now his ship to captain. And you know, it's just a case of just chatting now, and I saw him yesterday, just, you know, how things are and just, you know, life in general, rather than about, you know, advice, what do you want to do in these situations. I mean, Jeffsy's experienced enough as a coach, so so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Nice to see some of the players again.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, just to kind of catch up and see how they're doing, and yeah, be face to face. But obviously, there's been a lot of changes, so a lot of it's good to see. Let's say the youngsters taking the step up. Even some of the, you know, like a Lilia Thordis and Guduran, well, Lilia Thordis especially, that's kind of growing into a role a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, they've taken the opportunity and taken big steps forward.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Arnar, einhverjar fyrir spurningar um plikalið?
Nei, held ég ekki. Það sem bara búin að svara svo gætlega.
Já, FO. Nick, when you, FO, they've developed a great team over the last few years. And it seems like they're giving Breiðablik a lot more competition this year. They're closer to Breiðablik than they were last year. Do you see any like changes in the FO team from last year?
Obviously, they've gone through some changes as well in terms of players. Losing Arne Eriksson.
See on the screen, we see the expected points in the league, which is always an interesting stat, which it tells you basically, based on the statistic from each game, how the league should be. FO should be on top according to the expected points. Does that surprise you?
No, it's the same. I mean, pretty much everything that they've got there is similar. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, even though you say, you know, the Americans are the top goal scorer, they have been lacking finishing, like the Valor game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I don't know what the XG was, like 3 points, something like that. I mean, that, you know, it's moments like that. If you're going to win a title, it's those kind of games that could make the difference in terms of just having a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that they're you know, lacking this year, but they've got a conveyor belt of youngsters coming through. And I hear that just the centre-back who's coming, because now Katla Maria's injured. Mm-hmm. She's been, you know, fantastic coming in. Ingibjörg stepped up. Berglin, obviously, when she goes to America, she'll be missed a little bit, but she's been chipping in. And then some other youngsters, Havren, been coming in recently, and big fan of her as a player. So they've got a constant conveyor belt of youngsters coming through. And I think one thing I've noticed this year compared to last year is at this stage, mm-hmm. like last year, they would see out games. You know, they would change a little bit to a back four to just kind of calm things down and see out when getting the result. Mm-hmm. Whereas now they kind of almost gone back to 2 years ago, where it'd be a case of just, we're going to do our stuff no matter what. And they are the best team to watch in terms of entertainment, what they're trying to do, and it's the stats, you know, speak for itself. I think they've got the most amount of passes, possession wise, and they're leading the attack inside of things. So they're just going to be, it's going to be an exciting race towards the end. But if players come in or leave, that might.
Here we see the passes. Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, they're it's the same. I mean, that's over 1,000 to Breiðablik. Mm-hmm. So you say, in terms of the style of play, going back to them, is obviously last year we were miles top of everybody. Yeah. So I mean, they've just continued to do what they do, and you've got to give credit to the youth system that they have there, that they kind of do the same thing when Ihao were playing the same way. And, you know, so when the players come in, they can hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. But as you said, they kind of need maybe a better goal scorer. They have, like in the last game, they had 3.8 XG, scored one goal. That's maybe a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had that, you know, if they score two and they concede two, you know, like randomly, that sort of stuff happens. But when it's one, you've really got to be, let's say, to take the next step to win titles, those games are going to matter where you just get over the line. Mm-hmm. And to get the 3 points, obviously it's still very, very early. But I think, you know, without having unless the American can really kick on and just find the feet and start banging in goals a little bit more regularly than what she's doing and taking the chances, then I think that's where it could be the faltering situation. And as they with transfers or whatever happens this window, if they lose a couple of key players, then that will make a difference as well. Mm-hmm.
Just as a coach, how is it to prepare to play against UNAFA with this like really expensive?
Yeah, Gunni and Klino, the last few years, has been the most exciting games for me because you're not, you know what they're going to do, but it's always difficult to kind of prepare a different way. And I think pretty much in every game the last 2 years, there was a different approach. Mm-hmm. Like when 2 years ago we went kind of like a 4-2-4 and it worked and we won 4-0 at their place, because they, you know, and then at our place we tried to do the same thing, but it wasn't working. So then we changed to a diamond. Mm-hmm. Last year, similar sort of thing, had to change it around a little bit. They beat us. The cup final was just, we're going to do whatever was best, and they did what was best. Mm-hmm. And then the final game, we're into back five. So they've always been a difficult team to nail down exactly what I'm going to do in each game. So that was the most exciting thing, playing them.
Yeah, but like the system they play, how would you describe it? Just... It's three at the back, but they don't play with wing backs.
Chaos.
Yeah.
That's chaos. Whenever I describe it to the girls when we're playing that game, it's just like they just want to get into this chaos mode and just play. But I mean,
I think they've been better at not being in chaos this year.
That's what just I was
especially
say.
On the ball.
Yeah.
Like you can see it more. It's more controlled, especially with Andrea. So I think they're a bit more controlled now. And can dictate games way better than they have been the last 2 years.
No, definitely. And you did see it come towards it a little bit last year with some of the goals that they scored, like the Vikingur one. Mm-hmm. It was certainly just kind of pop mm-hmm. around a little bit. But they definitely have. You can see in games now, they are more controlled. Andreas just gets on the ball and plays it around a little bit. So they've maybe chaos is a little bit of that does it. I don't mean it in a negative way because it suits them. Of how they do, but they have good rotations of players coming in and moving further forward and coming and picking up the ball. So it's good to see their development and continuing to do so.
Do you take maybe a little bit of inspiration in playing football that kind of way? No chaos and having fun on the pitch?
I thought my team had last year.
Yeah.
We scored 70-odd goals or whatnot. So, I mean, I think what we did last year... was just as entertaining. I would like to think so. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much that of Christmas, but no, I just, you know, you enjoy seeing different styles. Mm-hmm. And they've stuck to their guns for many years, and yeah, they will continue to do so and continue to have success.
Mm-hmm. Ida Marin, yeah. Player you like she's taken big steps over the last few months. She's starting games for the national team as well.
Yeah, no, she, I've always been a big fan ever since she was at Fylkir and moved to Vaula. But she's always, yeah, and then she had the time in America where I think she kind of learned something new as well. And yeah, I think, you know, she's taken big steps and could be one that could be leaving at some point. Well, we'll be leaving at some point, whether or not it be the summer or after the season will be another matter. But I know that, you know, with the you're trying to get a UK passport mm-hmm. to open up some options.
Mm-hmm. Do you like her as a player and you want to bring her over to Kristiansand maybe?
If there was an opportunity. But that's just something I'll have to see a little bit later down the line once we start planning for next year, because there's no way FL are going to sell her now.
No. Don't you think?
At least not to me. Not to me.
Like, do you expect them to see this out? Like, if she leaves, do you expect them to compete for the title? They have a lot of youngsters, but they don't have midfielders like her as a youngster.
No, that's the thing. She can carry the team at times in terms of taking the game on the front foot. She can pick up the ball defensively and just stride forward and power forward and create something. they don't have that. If they lose her, then say it'd be certainly a big question whether or not they could replace her to still be in the title fight. Especially if you look at Blaydebic, that's probably going to strengthen. If FL lose the power players in that sense, then yeah, then it could be, then it would be a tall ask.
Mm-hmm. A few other teams that we want to talk about. Stjarnan, do you think they can? They've been on a good roll over the last few games. Do you think they can maybe challenge these two teams?
Losing Anna is Anna Maria is a big loss. Mm-hmm. So then it just depends on how they replace her. Because nothing really has changed for them from last year to this year. They probably had the least amount of outgoings, I would say. That might be wrong, but least amount of outgoings. And, you know, they've taken some time to get going. And they're there at the moment. It just depends on how they replace Anna Maria.
Yeah. Do you see, like, they've of course have a new coach, Oskar Smari.
Terrible.
coach from last year. Do you see, did he like bring his football over to Stjarnan? Do you see like similarities with his Fram team?
It's a different group of players, really. Because last year at Fram, you're kind of just fighting survival, and you know the amount of foreigners that you have in to compared to what they have now. Obviously, he's tried to bring in Muriel, or he did bring in Muriel, and that was kind of a big focal point. But obviously, he's been injured, mm-hmm. so he's had to adapt a little bit. And from games that I've seen, they've tried to be a little bit different in games. You know, against the Breidablik, they kind of sat off and looked for a counter. And other times they're trying to be on the front foot a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just how impressed were you with that game, the Breiðablik game?
They managed it well. I'd say they kind of got through the weather the storm a little bit in the first half, and then just exactly as Breiðablik kind of pushed on a little bit more, they used their counter attacking players, Ulver Dís and Fanny, really well, and just probably they deserved it from that point of view. Breiðablik didn't really create much in the second half. So you've got to give a lot of credit from a tactical point of view, getting through that little wave mm-hmm. of first half play, and then second half they just saw it out and just took the chances that came their way.
Mm-hmm. No, we also have a new team, two new teams in the league, Grindavík Njarðvík and IBF. Maybe just IBF, they're a really interesting team. They're like maybe different to other teams in the league in the sense that they just love to counter-attack. What do you see in their game? Like, they maybe surprised a lot of people this summer?
Not after playing them in the semi-final, mm-hmm. when they pushed us the whole way. You could see that if they kept the core group of players, and especially with the Americans that they had, with Allison and the captain.
Mm-hmm. Avery.
Avery. Yeah. If they kept that core group, I fancied them that they would finish at least top six. Mm-hmm. And they're on course for that. The difference is like, performing the one game against Breidablik in the semi-final is one thing, but then being able to perform week in, week out for 3 points is another. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have up and down moments, and which they are kind of doing, but they've already got points on the board, so you earn a little bit of dip, and I expect them to kick on and get some more points towards the end. I do see them finishing in the top six. Mm-hmm. There is, again, like it is capable of quite a few teams, is the depth. Mm-hmm. They miss one or two players, an Olga or an Allison, then all of a sudden their attacking abilities drop down.
You're not worried about like they have no plan B and maybe teams figuring them out? No, you expect them to be in top six, but if teams, let's say, drop down against them, do you see them getting a point, wins against? Teams are going to figure them out now, more and more. So you expect them to see through that, or just struggle and hope for the best?
I would expect them to see through. They still have the quality. It depends on, if Olga's on it, not many teams can, or defenders can stop her if he's drop off or not.
No.
So a lot of it depends on how she's feeling. But then they're just about to see, because nobody's, when team figure them out, then we'll see.
Yeah.
But it's not been a case of the games that they've lost. I don't think it's been a case of teams figuring them out. Mm-hmm. Per se, I think it's just a case of quality of the time, because the game's what they lost against Breidablik, which obviously is one type of style. Yeah. And what was the game that lost before that?
Before Breidablik?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it's interesting with them they have the lowest amount of passes in the entire league, and it's, I don't think it's very close at the bottom. So they have like a clear identity that they just want to attack the goal in as quick as possible. So they know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you come up against a team that does the same thing, then as you say, they drop off. But how many teams are going to have the balls to kind of go, we don't want the ball today.
Yeah,
we're just going to drop off and let Ibrahimovic have it and see what they do. You know, you don't really.
Yeah, you can see the passes.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the accurate passes as well. Maybe it translates to the fact that they take chances with the ball as well.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of, let's say, they've got space to play into, here you go, Olga, and to basically get on with it, you know. Yeah. That's.
Yeah, and the ball position as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you know,
it's not often you see teams like that being in top four.
No,
as I say, but that's why I said top six, maybe.
Fyrir það sem er ekki voru IBF með neðsta sendingafjöldan deildinni og langmest með boltan sem svona virkilega aðdilsvert Valur though. It's 2 years ago you were playing Valur for the league title, final game of the season. I think probably most of the years though you're here playing in the top division, Valur was winning titles, winning the championship and, you know, the cup title and everything. A lot has changed at Hlíðarenda since you left, yeah. and last season as well. Just how do you look at those things?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I don't think there was much of a plan beyond what they had, and obviously now they've tried to go for a bunch, you know, they've recruited youngsters. Mm-hmm.
They're the youngest team in the league, yeah. by a big margin, I think.
Yeah, and so that was kind of where they wanted to go. Yeah, as you can see there, you know, and having the younger team than FL is quite something.
Yeah.
Losing Anna Raquel and Berglund has killed them, because mm-hmm. that was kind of their security blanket defensively. I know they haven't conceded many goals defensively, but it just gave a little bit more security and experience in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, until they start scoring goals, they are in the battle. I think you going from a diamond or a 4-4-2 to a 4-2-3-1, mm-hmm. which they've done the last few games and picked up some results, has been a positive step for them, mm-hmm. Rather than trying to just stick by something that wasn't really working,
yeah.
wasn't working. And so then we'll see now, once they kind of get into the rhythm of things, Isabella as a winger, they manage to get a striker in, or, you know, Sonia gets a bit luck and starts scoring goals because she can score goals. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they are in the relegation battle.
Yeah.
You can't put any two ways about it. That's, you know, if they recognise that, then it might be easier for them to, you know, to step on. But at the moment, with the changes that they've made, formation-wise, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
Is it weird to see Valur in that situation where they're in a relegation battle?
I don't know if it's weird. You wouldn't expect it, I guess. It might be weird if they had the big time players still and they were dropping that way. You could argue a little bit last year they were dropping away that way, so maybe. But yeah, it's just sometimes it just cycles just work like that.
Mm-hmm. Like if you look at the expected points, we see that Valur are bottom of the table. You can see that the 8.7 IBF is close to them, and then you have Víkingur and Þróttur. It's an interesting stat that maybe tells you a lot about how their games have gone. We saw them against FO just before the break, where they were on the back foot and conceded 3.8 XG. Is it worrying that their games are going like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's at least they're picking up something. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way you can look at it. It's just like, you know, Mello, the XG, as it is expected, at the end of the day, it's what you actually get.
We can see that they're at least doing something positive defensively.
Yeah.
Expected goals against, they're middle of the table. So that tells you something that you can build on that.
Yeah, it's like they just need to have something going forward, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, to start scoring or creating them. I'm not sure where they are in terms of how much they've actually created. What's that, the expected
goals against?
Expected goals against.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in every single category, offensively, they are bottom two.
Yeah.
In passes, key passes, shots on goal. But you speak about the defense, but I think they're second in the league in shot against, so they're second highest. Mm-hmm. So they're, I know they have conceded 11 goals, but they are...
It doesn't tell you
the whole story. I mean,
disciplined.
Yeah.
So I mean, you talk about if they get a striker and they maybe score some goals, but how are they going to score the goals? I mean, is Bella all of a sudden when she has a striker, they have to get the ball to Bella. They have to get the ball to the striker. Right now, they can't play out from the back.
Mm-hmm.
They can't play through the midfield. So I mean, it just shouts that something more is missing than a striker or maybe a creative midfielder. It's everything that's shouting they need more.
Yeah.
Anything other than that, maybe that if you just look at the whole league, that maybe interests you, that maybe like fascinates you, style of play, statistics, anything?
I think it's just how, with the Thorkhauer beating Throttu, mm-hmm. I think it's just kind of made it exciting at the top and the bottom.
Mm-hmm. It's more exciting than last year, at least.
Yeah, I mean,
especially at the top.
If you look at the results, mm-hmm. I mean, the brand of football, you know, you see this every few years that, you know, when the exodus of players, the league quality drops a little bit. And I think this year is just one of those cycles. A lot of your more youngsters are getting more opportunities, and you know, so next year will be a better quality, and the year after that will be a better quality.
Mm-hmm.
This year it's just one of those where, as I said, the exodus of quality players from majority of teams has just reduced the quality of the league. That's just a fact. Nobody can sit here and say no, it's the best. You know, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But you're seeing a lot of opportunities for youngsters getting in, and so the quality will get better.
Yeah.
And for this year, it's just good to see that at this stage, nothing's set in stone.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I saw over there a little bit earlier, Stjarnan, they're so good defensively as well. Just expected goals against at the bottom of the table. So that's something maybe Óskar Smári has built over there, a really, really strong defensive team. They've conceded the least amount of goals as well in the league. It's very interesting how good Stjarnan are defensively. They're not getting the most amount of shots against. The least amount of shots mm-hmm. against either. So they're as I said, they're really good defensively. We have only 5 minutes left. At the end, I want to talk about, you know, players maybe moving around. The transfer window is about to open. Have you heard anything? Any rumors going around?
I'm sure you have.
I have some names on my list there. Katie Cousins maybe coming back to Iceland. Your former player.
Yeah.
At Þróttur.
As I said, I've heard it from a couple of different people. Joining Þróttur,
mm-hmm.
Which means then either Þróttur have to get rid of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have. Maybe they will. With some names that have been thrown to the rounds as well.
Mm-hmm.
But say that then changes something. For them, say that they're not going to win the league. That's a little bit out of reach. But in terms of winning the cup, they've got to be they have to be the favourites.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get KT in, then that puts them a massive step further forward to doing so.
Mm-hmm.
See the player that they're missing, or does Throttle need another player to win the cup?
That'd be the interesting thing now. It's like with Throttle in general, the directness in terms of is you know, much more than what it was of Olio with me. They're paying 15-20 passes on average,
mm-hmm.
longer passes a game than what they've done. So it'd be interesting with Katie in there, if they get on the ball and then add that little dimension, then it gives them a lot of quality. I mean, Katie's been one of the best players that played in Iceland. So if she's anywhere halfway the form, it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Another player that's maybe coming to Þróttur, Bríet Fjóla Bjarnadóttir, Þórkáa. One of most promising players coming from Iceland, one of most promising young players. I don't know if it's going to happen this window or maybe after the season, but I've heard that she's going to Þróttur play for Jói again. And maybe Thelma Ívars coming back, not to Breiðablik, but to Víkingur. They mm-hmm. probably need a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the American that we brought in is nowhere near good enough, mm-hmm. ultimately. Mm-hmm. That's why Cattler's now back playing again. Certainly the goalkeeper, Telma, would be the perfect one to go for if Bilobic don't want
to. Arnur, take me eitthvað meira, eitthvað slúður?
Nei, bara mjög lítið, nema bara stjarnan kannski þarfa að leita sér miður í tölum að fer í háskóla aftur þannig að, og Anna María náttúrulega bara út, þannig að það verður líka gaman að sjá því tölum að hefur verið frábær, mm-hmm. þannig að það verður aðtöldst að sjá svona hvaða, í hvaða átt Óskar fer þó með miðurinn sinn, hvernig miður hann sækir, náttúrulega ef að verður frábæra varnarlega, þannig að kannski fer bara í einn gamaldags miður sem á að verja markið eða hvort hann fari einhvern svona meira spilandi, þú veist, það verið gaman sjá líka.
Mm-hmm. Þórdís Elva, maybe going to Breiðablik, við þetta að Nick?
I mean, if you've heard it, then I've heard it as well. When that happens is another matter. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she didn't play the last game up at Thorkawa. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that had anything to do with it, you know, because obviously she's out of contract mm-hmm. at the end of this year, so maybe something's going on there, so we'll just have to wait and see. Obviously, other people out of contract is, you know, Ulva Dís. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been...
I've heard that Breiðablik are talking to her as well.
I mean, Breiðablik and Valur would be, but as I say, at the moment, if you're leaving Stjarnan, there's only going to be one place that players are going to go. So it'd be interesting to see, with players out of contract, how many of them leave now, if teams want to play transfer fees or just happy to start building for the future.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Arnar, bara eitthvað svona pælingar sem er með í lokinn, eina mínútu 45 sekundur enna eftir... Í útsendingu, eitthvað svona pælingar sem með fyrir Nick, Logan?
Nei, ég tala alltaf mikið vennar mann,
komið fínt. Maybe just finally, under 19s, yep. Played the first game at the Euros, lost 3-0 to Austria. How do you just rate their chances going forward after that?
Very slim.
Yeah.
Just facts.
They needed to get something from that game?
Yeah, I think so. Who do they have next?
Spain, I think.
Yeah, tomorrow. And Spain and then Switzerland, who got a very good draw, and Spain have traditionally been very, very strong at the 19 Euros. So you never know, mm-hmm. but I can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Any players that you like from that squad? Of course, the players you had.
Yeah, Leif and Edith, you've got other ones.
Ingeborg Magnusdóttir coming into the team at a young age as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Helga, obviously another former player, a defender in there. Which ones you got? The couple of the I was going to say Tindastól, mm-hmm. Thorkawa,
Elisa,
yeah, and yeah. Birgitta, mm-hmm. Very big fans of them as well. It'd just be exciting to see how they continue to finish the season after coming away with the 19s.
Mm-hmm. Any fun plans going forward in Iceland?
Just unfortunately hanging out with a girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, could be worse than that.
Yeah, it could be.
Nick, thank you so much for coming.
Appreciate it.
Takk Arnar, við erum með okkur. Og takk fyrir að hlusta eða horfa eða hvernig sem þið voru að þessu. Að fylgjast með okkur. Bara takk fyrir.